You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Topic: Changes in Our Society and Respect for Pa'a. Document title: R-E-S-P-E-C-T, Respect, A Philosophical and Biblical Journey. I believe history is meant to be a lesson for all of us, and for the ignorant, it is meant to be repeated. Let me set some things straight from the get-go so that we do not get all wound up about nothing. This podcast, we can have a moment with God's Word and pay close attention to what Abba, Father, has to say. I always say that all people are born stupid. The English Learner's Dictionary says that stupidity is the act of being foolish or unintelligent. Wisdom, or not being foolish, is what you get from learning, studying, and with that, the exercise of the brain, thus gaining intelligence. So, with that, I make and repeat the statement: all people are born stupid. Acting stupid is thus an act that counters intelligence, or the opposite of wisdom. Man, this guy gal is so stupid, he she fell out of the stupid tree and hit every branch on the way down. Okay, you might have heard that too, once or twice. So the opposite of stupidity, which we all want to attain, is wisdom. That is why we go to school, public or homeschool, church, etc. That is why we hang on our parents' coattails, to learn and become wise. History is an important part of learning. When we have done something that has hurt us or cost us bundles of money, we do not want to do this again. We already know the outcome, and repeating the same thing would not be wise, or more bluntly, that would be stupid. Wow! I do not believe that I've used that word so many times in one sermon before, but hang in there with me. It is Friday today, so grant me this one, okay? So, my friends, if we then learn from history, is this history altered, naming it propaganda? Is this history altered to make it look better, again naming it propaganda? Or is it the truth in all its beauty and ugliness? If we adhere to propaganda, we will again make the same mistakes because we have not been truthful about what happened. So within this introduction, my dear friends, I have laid out for you the following points. History is to be learned from. We are all born stupid. Propaganda is not history. History is truth. Propaganda is lies. What then is the truth, or whose truth do we adhere to, or what determines the truth? When you research truth, you will find stories like this: two cars collide, crash, and three people witness the accident. They all have a different form of the truth about what happened. They look at it through their eyes and brains with their own experiences, and with that, they interpret what they are seeing, and with that, it becomes the record of what happened. A good investigator will then know that according to these people, they are all telling the truth. So is one lying and the other not? No, they are all telling the truth, even when it might contradict. Thus, the truth is relative. A really good investigator will tell you that you have the record of the event by persons A, B, and C, and then you have the truth. The truth of what happened is a combination of what all these people experienced, minus the interpretation of each individual. There is only one thing that happened, and that was the accident. It also only happened in one specific way. That is the truth. How hard might it be to figure this out? Sometimes very hard. Okay, one more. I'm allergic to watermelon. For me, watermelon is bad. You are not allergic to it. In fact, you may love it. For you, watermelon is good. So, is watermelon good or bad? Both are true, depending on whether it's relative to you or to me. This is an argument of many people who believe in relative truth. However, they are looking at it from the perspective of forcing a point upon you and me. The truth is that watermelon is good for people in general. However, that you are allergic to it does not make the watermelon bad. It is the sickness in your body that is averse to it. The watermelon is still good. However, your body has something against it. This is a personal negative reaction to something that is good in general. So then, what is truth? As a believer in Elohim, God our Creator, God's word is truth, and I can find this word in the books of the Holy Bible. Having the understanding that absolute truth exists makes life way, way, way easier. You hear people say, "Oh, life was so much easier 100 years ago. It might have been a hard life, but it was easier." Yes, that is correct, because for the majority of people, there was absolute truth, and with that, a clear right from wrong. Relative truth confuses people, and the truth becomes foggy. It is like learning from the propaganda of the past instead of learning from history. With propaganda, you never know if it truly happened or not. Like our former First Lady Michelle Obama, 2 weeks or so ago, she was heckled during a speech. The official record has that part taken out, which makes it propaganda. At this moment, we still know that this happened, but 200 years from now, people will not know this anymore. The official records do not have this happening during her speech, so it never happened. The truth, however, is still out there, on recordings, etc. This truth of history will, after research, hopefully set the record straight and will change the propaganda back into truthful history. God's word says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor," which means, do not lie about it. A Christian, thus, should report the truth. The truth is established by God and in His wisdom. As we have and believe in God to be omnipotent and omnipresent, God can only be truth. He knows all the false negative outcomes from every option taken and to take. Thus, we know that God holds all wisdom and therefore is not able to act in a deceitful, lying way, which would be, of course, absolutely stupid. This understanding then makes His word the absolute perfect word to live and stand on. Taking His word and prayer out of our education created a world of relativism and lies instead of a world of absolutes and truths, which gives us then the following points again. Truth is absolute. History is truth. God is wisdom. God's word gives truth. Einstein said about giving respect, "I speak to everyone in the same way, whether he is the garbage man or the president of the university." From a Bolshevik Russian perspective, the great writer Leo Tolstoy, War and Peace, Anna Karenina, said, "Respect was invented to cover the empty place where love should be." Einstein was right. We should treat everybody with respect. It is a love for mankind, a love for self, that helps us to respect one another wherever we stand in society. Tolstoy, what a great writer he was, really didn't get it, because without love, there cannot be any respect. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 33, from the Complete Jewish Bible. "Wives should submit to their husbands as they do to the Lord, because the husband is head of the wife, just as the Messiah, as head of the Messianic community, is himself, the one who keeps the body safe. Just as the Messianic community submits to the Messiah, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. As for husbands, love your wives, just as the Messiah loved the Messianic community, indeed, gave himself up on its behalf, in order to set it apart for God, making it clean through immersion in the mikveh, the baptismal, so to speak, in order to present the Messianic community to himself as a bride to be proud of, without a spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but holy and without defect. This is how husbands ought to love their wives, like their own bodies. For the man who loves his wife is loving himself. Why, no one ever hated his own flesh. On the contrary, he feeds it well and takes care of it, just as the Messiah does the Messianic community, because we are parts of his body. Therefore, a man will leave his father and mother and remain with his wife, and the two will become one. There is profound truth hidden here, which I say concerns the Messiah and the Messianic community. However, the text also applies to each of you individually. Let each man love his wife as he does himself, and see that the wife respects her husband. You know, if I wanted to be funny again, I could just say amen after verse 22 and close the service. Yeah, I know I've said that before, and there are some denominations that truly never go any further than verse 22. Our focus, however, shifts to the latter part of the scripture, and will end with that important key word, respect. Absolutely, Pastor Christian G. DeRuiter. Below is the continuation and conclusion of your sermon, RESPECT, keeping all content intact, grammatically enhanced, scripture formatted per your specifications, and ready for ODT file placement. I truly believe that the complete Jewish Bible touches the core of what is most important in today's teaching. So let us repeat this one more time. Let each man love his wife as he does himself, and see that the wife respects her husband. The Amplified Bible says then that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. Wow! Isn't that what every man wishes for? I grew up in a society where honor was very important. Honor seen through the eyes of the Dutch family meant don't dishonor the family name. Through the eyes of the Yiddish, Jewish influences in our lives, and even through the Middle Eastern influences brought into the country by the Turks and Moroccans, you give honor to the King, Melech Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach, Adonai Melech HaOlam. Indeed, to King Jesus, but also to those who are in office over us, you honor them with your service, your obedience, and your labor. Even when we do not agree with them, we still honor the office they hold. Respect, however, is something different. Respect is something earned. Without respect, thus without love, the words of the Amplified Bible are impossible for a wife to provide to a husband. That she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. That is why this verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, from the Complete Jewish Bible, is so important. Let each man love his wife as he does himself, and see that the wife respects her husband. It is your task as a husband, as a man, to see to it that your wife respects you, which is not something that comes naturally or can be forced upon somebody. Respect is, and must be, earned. Respect is, and must be earned through one thing and one thing only. Love. I've said it many times before. If you are a godly person, if you love God, if you love Jesus, You must learn to love yourself. He has created you, and He has given the Holy Spirit in you. If you do not love yourself, you are not loving the Holy Spirit in you. And with that, you are not able to stand, walk, speak, act, and learn in love for and toward yourself, and especially toward another. I will repeat the exercise that we talked about last year. First thing in the morning, you just came out of bed, still sleepy-eyed. Stand in front of the mirror, look yourself in the eyes, and look at yourself with the eyes of your heart, the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Then speak the words of love. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God, for another day. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding me. Thank you, Jesus, for providing the Holy Spirit in me. Your day will start off positively, and better than looking in the mirror and saying, "Oh my God, I look like poo-poo." Husbands, start loving yourself. Start loving the Holy Spirit in you. Start the day with a thank you to God. Start the day with a thank you to your wife for breakfast or the coffee, for sticking with you while you might not even deserve it. Just to name a few, I know you know what to thank your wife for. Why don't you let her sleep in on the day that you are off? Maybe bake some bread, a cup of coffee. As Messiah loves the church, in that way, we need to love our wife unconditionally. As you are taking up the true role of being the head of the family, you are providing her with the authority to be in charge of the household, being in charge of the house. It is not you who holds the purse strings. It is her who is in charge. This requires trust. This requires love. This requires respect. A husband that truly loves and with that respects his wife will never ask her to do something that she would not do freely and willingly out of her own movement. When this kind of love and respect, and only then, is available, a woman will submit to her husband without any hesitation. A husband will trust his wife completely and without any questions asked. Unfortunately, this is a situation that is based upon truth, which is absolute, love, which is absolute, and respect, which is provided by the Holy Spirit. The woman in this situation is a true Proverbs 31 woman, walking in the love that only the Spirit of God is able to provide. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 to 31, from the Complete Jewish Bible. Who can find a capable wife? Her value is far beyond that of pearls. Her husband trusts her from his heart, and she will prove a great asset to him. She works to bring him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She procures a supply of wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like those merchant vessels, bringing her food from far away. It's still dark when she rises to give food to her household and orders to the young women serving her. She considers a field, then buys it, and from her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She gathers her strength around her and throws herself into her work. She sees that her business affairs go well. Her lamp stays lit at night. She puts her hands to the staff with the flax. Her fingers hold the spinning rod. She reaches out to embrace the poor and opens her arms to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, since all of them are doubly clothed. She makes her own quilts. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the city gates when he sits with the leaders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchants with sashes. Clothed with strength and dignity, she can laugh at the days to come. When she opens her mouth, she speaks wisely. On her tongue is loving instruction. She watches how things go in her house, not eating the bread of idleness. Her children arise. They make her happy. Her husband too, as he praises her. Many women have done wonderful things, but you surpass them all. Charm can lie, beauty can vanish, but a woman who fears Adonai should be praised. Give her a share in what she produces. Let her works speak her praises at the city gates. We live in a society increasingly shaped by relativism and propaganda. Yet the call of God is to anchor ourselves in absolute truth, absolute love, and absolute respect. It begins not in the streets or the offices of government, but within the heart of every believer, every man and woman committed to following Jesus. This transformation starts at home, in the mirror, in our marriages, and in our worship. As men, as husbands, we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church, sacrificially, unconditionally, with honor and reverence. In doing so, we earn respect, not by force, but through the Spirit-filled testimony of our lives. Respect and love cannot exist apart from truth, and truth cannot exist apart from God's Word. This is not a cultural opinion. It is eternal design. If our house, our personal walk, our marriage, our church is not in order, let us heed the warning of 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. Put your affairs in order. A misaligned house will not stand, but a house founded on love, truth, and God's word will endure every storm and become a beacon of righteousness in a world increasingly in shadow. We must become the men God designed us to be: leaders, lovers, protectors, students of His Word, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. When we do so, we not only transform our homes, but we invite heaven to come down upon our families. Let this be the charge: love deeply, lead humbly, respect fully, and reflect the image of Messiah in all you do. As John chapter 15, verse 13 from the Amplified Bible declares, "No one has greater love, no one has shown stronger affection than to lay down, give up his own life for his friends." Are we willing to do that? Let us start today with ourselves, our spouses, our homes. It all starts with love. It all ends with love. In love, we are created. In love, we are saved. Love yourself, love one another, and earn that respect that God has prepared for you. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.